Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
The optimism is that it's hard to foresee in the normal course of agricultural trends a lot of things that would take prices lower. And really a lot of our threats have to do with outside things, again, geopolitical conflicts that could have one impact either up or down on the other. Basically, it would cause volatility. And the possibility with an election coming up of U.S. government policies that would be meant to do such things as control inflation and or deal with other maladies in the economy. And
he's talking about his general optimism for the markets, Dr. Dan O'Brien, grain marketing economist at Kansas State University.
If those things come about, they can have intended and or unintended consequences on ag markets for grains, and we'll be watchful to see what all goes on.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
For travelers who are not U.S. citizens or legal permanent residents coming into the United States, either through Canada or Mexico, via land ports of entry or ferry terminals, these travelers, or essential workers in this case now, will have to be vaccinated with an approved vaccine and be able to show proof of that vaccination status.
So a new vaccine mandate on essential workers coming into the U.S. means more supply chain disruptions are possible. That's Allison Crittenden, a Congressional Relations Director with the American Farm Bureau Federation.
From a farm worker perspective, we recognize that the H-2A program continues to grow. So this could really present challenges for new workers coming into the United States. We've heard reports that there are some challenges in obtaining vaccines in Mexico. So we do have some concerns that this could create some challenges in accessing our workforce.
And she says producers should share the goal of keeping farm workers safe and healthy.
I think it's important if you have an idea of the workers that are coming to your farm this year, I would first reach out and verify their vaccination status and make sure they're aware of these requirements. If they're having trouble getting vaccinated, try to direct them to the appropriate resources within Mexico. And I think another step is just to continue outreach and advocacy to members of Congress and the administration, explaining that this new requirement could result in further supply chain challenges.
Well, we turn from vaccines to the upcoming Agricultural Outlook Forum from USDA featuring something new.
New refers to how are we going to achieve this, including what technologies or innovations are we going to bring in order to achieve this goal of both productivity and sustainability. They don't have to be at opposite ends of the spectrum, right? You don't have to be either sustainable or increase productivity. There are innovative ways to accomplish both.
Dr. Seth Meyer is the chief economist of USDA and heads up the Ag Outlook Forum.
What's so significant about the forum is that it's our chance to embrace and engage our constituencies across all the things that USDA does.
But he also admits he's not completely up to speed on all the topics being covered.
There's one here that I think is really fascinating on heirs property, for instance. Not something I deal with every day, but, you know, get in there and understand the issue, who it affects, and how USDA engages in this.
And on the topic of climate change,
the emphasis on climate filters its way into many of these sessions as an example, and there's lots of very interesting ones as a result.
Despite the wide variety of topics,
we will obviously talk about current market conditions, talk about livestock, dairy, poultry, grains, oil seeds, all the important factors in here, what the market looks like and what production might look like for the coming year.
And the spotlight will be on?
This year will be very interesting in terms of the outlook for acreage for the coming year. You know, we'll talk about things like rising relative input costs. Is the increase in perhaps fertilizer expenditures shifting acreage between corn and beans?
It's not in person, though. This one is virtual.
I think we'll hit all those important topics which are on our constituents' minds. Everything from the producer's input costs to get the crop in the ground to the consumer's purchase costs when they go to the grocery store.
Not only virtual, but free.
We used to do this all in person, and I'd show up for all the trade sessions, and I'd show up late because I was busy, and the room would be full, and I couldn't even get in the room. So I actually like the new virtual format because I can jump over to the trade sessions or even watch them after the fact and get really engaged.
It's Agriculture Today.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
You know, I think if there's something that we can really be excited about was the fact that 2021 was such a good year for exports.
Kent Backus is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
The fact that we only have the data on our trade totals through November, but even through that, we've already blown past the 2020 numbers and the record-setting 2018 numbers. We're already at $9.6 billion just in the first 11 months of 2021. And we're planning, I think it's safe to say we're going to blow past that $10 billion threshold when the final numbers come in here at the end of January, beginning of February. But, you know, that attributes to $400 per head. When you're talking about just the total value that's due to exports alone, that's $400 per head. And that's something that is really good for all of our producers. When you look at the major the markets that are really driving all of that growth, it's three major markets. It's Korea, Japan, and China. And, you know, right now, Korea and Japan are still vying for that number one spot. They're both just at about $2.17 billion in each market, which is amazing. And China is fast on their heels at $1.43 billion. We just got access into China, barely over a year ago. But in the short time, just in this past year, we've seen a 500% increase in sales into China alone. And so we're just exploding in these top three markets, and they're essentially in a bidding war over many of the same cuts. So that means that we're having really good sales in these markets. Mexico's seen a massive rebound. We're going to exceed $1 billion in sales into Mexico. Canada still fairly strong at $682 million. Taiwan is right on their heels at $600 million. So I mean, when you really see this shift to Asia, a lot of that's due to just the strong demand in those countries, but there are also other big factors. It's the result of tight global cattle and beef supplies. If you couple that with strong demand and good trade policies that remove tariffs and non-tariff barriers like BSE restrictions and hormone bans, then that just sets us up for success. And we need to build on that success. And, you know, I think that's what we're going to talk about over the next few months, is how we can build on that success.
But he's also quick to admit those relationships don't happen on accident.
And I think that, you know, the one thing we find, whether it's with American consumers or consumers in other countries, is that you have to have consumer trust, and you have to build that confidence in your product. You do that by being direct and by educating them about your product, about the people that are raising these cattle, and about the safety and the quality of our product. And that takes time. It is a long-term investment. And when you look at Korea and Japan, those are two prime examples of where we were shut out. And in Korea, I mean, you had protest, massive protest on the importation of U.S. beef. We're talking 600,000 people in downtown Seoul at a candlelight vigil. It threatened to topple their government. And now we're the biggest import source in that market. When you look at China, you look at Mexico, and Taiwan, these are all countries where we really had to build that consumer trust. We do that through our partnerships with the U.S. Meat Export Federation, but also it really is about having those good trade policies that give us a chance to get our foot in the door and to engage directly with consumers. Because unless we have that access, we're not going to be able to build that trust.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I'm certainly appreciative of the fact that he finally was able to make his way to the Hill to provide one of their obligations and duties as the Secretary of Ag, and that's to provide an update on the state of the rural economy and the ag economy.
Cody Besson is President CEO of Plains Cotton Growers. He's referring to Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack's first trip to Capitol Hill to meet with the House Ag Committee.
Most people probably feel very confident in the fact that there are some programs that he mentioned that we've been working on as an agriculture industry for quite some time that they will roll out, and we'll certainly want to provide some more details on that. But certainly there are some challenges ahead that USDA and the Secretary is going to consistently have to take up and address. And we're certainly working on that, whether that be rising input cost, continuation of supply chain issues and availability of products as producers start another cropping season. And so certainly those are on the forefront of our minds, of the Secretary's mind, and certainly of Congress as we venture into 2022.
Obviously, the Secretary facing a wide range of questions, but Besson says
one thing that is of a positive note that the ag sector I mentioned overall has been working on, but trying to finish out disaster assistance in the form of WIP Plus that was reauthorized by Congress in September of 2021. They appropriated roughly $10 billion to implement another round of disaster assistance to address issues we saw in 2020, specifically in our region. Certainly was a very dire year due to a hard, drier conditions that we currently than we typically have. In addition to 2021, you had a plethora of other issues. Most familiar with the vastly hard winter storm that we experienced about this time last year. And certainly those appropriated funds will be very timely from an implementation standpoint. Overall, they gave at least a little bit of indication of when that program could be forthcoming and unrolled, probably around the later springtime. So looking at maybe April, May, when that program would be fully implemented. They indicated that it may come in two tranches, a first tranche being those that had an insurable-based crop that still had some risk at stake, and so that would be the first tranche. They would try to address those types of products and acres in production for insured-based crops. And then the secondary would be those that were not insured. Typically, that's more specialty crop-based. That have been impacted by weather-related events or other sectors that are not insurable-based crops. So kind of stay tuned on that. It's still a little bit of evolving. They're still trying to work on internal-based programming systems and operations so it's more user-friendly when it's implemented. I know that was a big challenge when we saw the 18 and 19 WIP Plus implemented at the county FSA offices, but this is supposed to be a much more user-friendly, less labor-intensive based programs on county offices that are certainly very strained from a staff-level standpoint. And then also from the timeline of an implementation strategically, I think they're much more aware and acute trying to spread out workloads on county offices that are, again, operating on finite levels where they're going through PLC and ARC sign-up currently up until mid-March and then trying to implement this disaster aid-type program from into March, 1st of April, up until we get into acre certification that'll become more aggressive in June. So trying to spread that workload out, the stacking workload on top of one another like we've ran into the last couple of seasons.
It's Agriculture Today.
Envision yourself on the front porch enjoying a cold glass of iced tea as the sun fades over the horizon. We can help you realize that dream with a home loan from Capital Farm Credit. Not only do we finance land and livestock, we also offer loans to purchase, refinance, and build homes. Even if you want to buy that second home for a tranquil escape, we offer competitive rates and terms. Let us finance your dreams. CapitalFarmCredit.com.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Well, the CRP is kind of the flagship conservation program that the Farm Service Agency administers.
Zach Ducheneau is the administrator of USDA's Farm Service Agency in Washington, D.C.
It's a program where producers can really contemplate their options. They can either stay in their current system of ag production, or they can take steps to promote conservation and soil health on their land in exchange for an annual rental payment and engaging in some practices that help produce vegetative cover. Producers can enroll in that general CRP program. General CRP sign-up is going to open on next Monday, January 31st, and it's going to run through March 11th.
What about grassland CRP?
And that will run from April 4th to May 13th. And that's more targeted at the grazing lands and bringing those into conservation practices and giving those producers tools to mitigate the climate change that we're all realizing.
And he talks about program updates to CRP.
The first thing that happened when one of the first things that I came into when I took the job in February last year, we were talking about the declining enrollment in CRP and trying to find ways to stem that tide and get producers more tools to be accessing these conservation programs. So we adjusted some of the rental rates. We added some incentives and added a slate of climate smart practice incentives so that producers have a more viable choice. You know, we really are all about giving producers a choice to participate in these programs. These are voluntary incentive-based programs, and we want to make sure producers have tools that give them an option. Another aspect of the CRP program that is often overlooked is the R in CRP talks about a reserve, and what we're doing when we enroll these lands in CRP, even in the general sign-up, is setting aside some reserve forage that we can draw on in times of need. As an example, there were millions of acres of CRP land grazed and hayed just last year to help mitigate the impacts of the drought. And that's to say nothing of the permissive grazing and harvesting that we can do on these acres to help stockpile forage in better times.
And what about rental rates and incentives?
In the grassland program, what we did is last year we took a look at what we would need to do to get producers enrolled. We set a minimum for last year of $15 per acre for grassland CRP. That caused an increase in just over 1,000 counties. And I imagine it caused a significant increase out there in your territory as well. We're kind of evaluating what that did to the demand as we think about setting that rental rate for the coming year. But in addition to that $15 per acre, in the Dust Bowl area and in the Elk Migratory Corridor, there was also a incentive payment or an enhancement payment, if you will, on top of that $15 an acre for folks that would enroll lands in those particular focus areas.
And deadlines again?
Deadline for general CRP is March 11th. Sign-up opens next Monday. The deadline for CRP grasslands is May 13th. And the sign-up for that will open April 4th. The best place for the producers to get their information is from their local office. They'll know how the program is rolling out locally and what the local impacts and resource concerns are. And producers are encouraged to call ahead because we are in a modified posture with the flare-up of the Omicron variant. We want to get back to that in-person communication as quickly as we can, but we got to make sure that it's safe for everybody before we do so. So call ahead to your local office, jump on farmers.gov, and check out the back sheets that we've got there. And we look forward to seeing a robust enrollment.
It's Agriculture Today.
The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show is the oldest and largest event in the beef cattle industry, and we're headed to Houston, February 1st through the 3rd. Everything's bigger in Texas, so you can't afford to miss the massive NCBA Trade Show. Engaging speakers, outstanding education, all for the beef cattle industry. We've gone to Texas for CattleCon 2022, February 1st through the 3rd. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
For years, cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. NextGen brand cottonseed from America. You can depend on NextGen varieties for performance and yields year after year. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Oh, and one other thing. Americott is now offering cotton seed treatments to protect your seed investment against your early season challenges. To find out more, contact your local NextGen representative or seed dealer today. Americott. All we do is cotton. All the time.
This is Agriculture Today.
The stocks in for December 1 is down 6% nationally.
Caitlin McCulloch with the Livestock Marketing Information Center on hay availability.
Now, a lot of the problem areas that showed steep year-over-year declines were limited to the west, so west of the Rockies and the northern plains. If you look across the northern plains, those were some of the most dramatic decreases. Montana down 40% from a year ago. Both North and South Dakota down over 40%, Minnesota down 35%, and then some of the western states also down in the high 20s, so in some cases over 40% there. And so what you have is a continued negative situation for an area that's already experienced drought for 2 years. There's a La Nina watch continued, and so I'm pretty concerned with what forage availability looks like, as well as how much that's going to cost. We raised our alfalfa national average price for next year to over $200 a ton, so fairly in line with what this year's going to be. But I would expect that other hay number to be probably in the high 140s, maybe in even 150s. The other thing that comes out with this December 1 hay stocks report is new seedings of alfalfa. There was a considerable decline in how many acres were new seeded. It's the lowest on record. Now, this is in a long data set, but it goes back to the 1990s. But that was down, I think, over 25%. And so it really looks like you're not going to get any help from the acreage side. And part of that is because you have such higher priced commodities. Virtually no matter what region of the country you're talking about, there is a higher priced crop you could put in the ground. And so that's not going to help hay very much. Yes, you could get some back with better than average yields, but those remain to be seen. And so I think your hay outlook right now is fairly negative if you're a livestock producer. The other thing we're watching, and you mentioned the drought monitor, we're seeing some development of drought in the southern plains, an area that we haven't really seen the drought in the last 2 years. That's probably a key area we're watching. Texas is the number one or two hay-producing state in the U.S. virtually every year. So large impacts there if that continues.
And all this could lead to additional culling across the southern high plains.
I think it's definitely a possibility, especially when you consider that area hasn't probably been the focus of a lot of culling in previous years, whereas the West has had now probably 2 years of continuous herd reduction in some of those states. Northern Plains obviously had a larger year this year, too. Those are going to happen in 2022 and won't affect our January 1 numbers quite yet, whereas that major impact is going to be from that western drought last year in the northern plains.
But whether we're talking livestock or grains, April through June could be interesting, says Dan O'Brien, Kansas State grain economist.
I guess I would say that when you look at the seasonality of prices in Kansas, well, and in the United States, that if anything, we're seeing more and an increased seasonality with stronger prices coming into the spring and early summer than we have in the past. Again, key corn factors to watch in April. We'll be watching for Brazil remaining either dry or not, and the impact on the second crop corn, how the U.S. and China trade status and or export pace holds up. Of course, we'll be watching for U.S. planted acres of corn versus soybeans. And it's often kind of forgotten, but we'll be watching closely domestic corn use issues. Again, if anything happens in the U.S. economy that slows down consumer traveling, is that COVID-19? Is that some type of other policy issue meant to control inflation? Or who knows what that could be? If something slows down summer driving, then that affects the ethanol industry negatively, and then that would affect the corn market. Livestock profitability, feed use, that's all in play too. And of course, exports are the wild card, and we'll be watching the South American crop production to find out how much competition we have and really where our exports might go as we head off into the future.
It's Agriculture Today.
Take the guesswork out of preparing your cotton for harvest with NanoPro. Utilizing NanoPro's revolutionary nanoliquid technology, your harvest aids go to work faster and more efficiently, increasing leaf drop, reducing regrowth, and helping your cotton be ready when you are. Offering a 3-to-1 return on investment, you can't go wrong with NanoPro. Learn more or find your nearest dealer by calling Tracy Carrillo at 575-639-5110 or visit aquayield.com.
Ring in the new year with savings at South Plains Implement. Looking for a new ride? Get great deals and financing options across a wide selection of John Deere lawn equipment during the Winter Green Sales event. Have time to tackle repairs on harvest equipment? In-stock peanut and cotton harvest equipment parts 15% off. Ready to plow into planting season? South Plains Implement offering 15% off complete sets of tillage parts. Some restrictions apply. Offers end January 31st at South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
It was a bit of a bearish surprise in as much as the placements number came out pretty high.
Bob Maurer is with Manduca Trading in Chicago and says the market really wasn't prepared for the number they got from USDA from the cattle on feed report.
It was put at 106.5% of last year, and that was above the higher end of the range in terms of expectations. Marketing's about a push. They came out at plus 0.2% versus expectations of plus 0.8%. And then for the on-feed supply for Jan 1, that came in at plus 0.6% versus minus 0.2%. So a bit of a differential there. But net-net, the takeaway was bearish. So you add that little fundamental piece of data that came from the USDA on top of what we're seeing in terms of the equity markets and the dollar. And the market did what it was supposed to do today, in my opinion, on the fat cattle contracts, the live cattle contracts, with the Feb through August contracts losing anywhere from about 185 points down, you know, to about 115 or so. So clearly it's got a little break. That said, the market just technically, if you look at the April live cattle futures, which is the most actively traded one right now, it did break down to pretty good move to the downside, got down to just one tick above 139, ended up at 140 and a quarter. So it recovered pretty much half of the losses today. Still a loser on the day, but just from today's action alone, okay, it settled off the low and kind of within the trading range that we've been over the last few months. So to me, the market fundamentally did what it was supposed to do based on the data, but technically speaking and how to trade it today, it's a bit encouraging that maybe it's not ready to go down quite yet or stay down. And there's a couple of bullish aspects too that are putting themselves in the market still. Sales have been good. Cumulative sales for 2022. They've reached just north of 257,000 metric tons. That's up from just shy of 227 last year, so 30,000 metric tons more than the same time a year ago. So that's obviously good. Five-year average is about 154, so that's, you know, we're doing relatively good compared to the five-year average, relatively good compared to last year. The largest buyer was China at just shy of 3,900 metric tons. So granted, there's definitely the fact out there that they have not met their obligations, what they had promised the previous administration in terms of doing business with the United States, but still they're in as a buyer. So I'll take what we can get. I wish we had more, but I'll keep taking them as a buyer for as long as we can do that. Box beef cutouts on the cash side was looking pretty good. Last week ended up at 292.5-ish or just shy of it. The previous week was 284. So that is about an $8 increase on the week. So that's obviously clearly good. And when you break it down, the rib primals, round primal, chuck primal, and then the 50% trimmings all saw gains too. Some of the other major sectors there were basically a push. So there were no negative moves in terms of the primals or the trimmings that I saw based on the preliminary data from the USDA. So that's all good. So sure, you know, we look at it in context, and we expect the pressure that we've seen, and we'll be watching the equity markets to see if this continues. But net-net, I think there's some good stories to offset some of that bad story at the moment.
That's Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's Agriculture Today.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022's here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
USDA's January WASDE report did not make month-over-month changes to the milk production forecast.
The thing most notable about dairy product supply and demand and dairy product balance sheet in general is just that product prices have been very strong, and high U.S. product prices mean that imports are up and exports are down.
That was World Ag Outlook Board Chair Mark Jackanowski.
We raised our price forecast for cheese, for butter, for non-fat dry milk, for dry whey. Raised them this month, reflecting some expectations for pretty strong year-over-year increases.
He says USDA raised its forecast for the all-milk price by $1.85 per hundredweight.
We don't fully understand what's really driving all of those price patterns toward stronger prices, but nevertheless, that's where we are. And with stronger dairy product prices, that in turn supports the class prices.
This is Stephanie Hope in Washington, D.C.